So we get to talk.
We have to.
We also get to talk.
He's
obviously,
noisy.
Alex isn't here. He's off on his honeymoon, right?
No, actually, hope Alex doesn't listen to this because then he's gonna know that operating the new soundboard that we have, I've been feigning not being able to operate it, so I wouldn't have to. So
well,
now,
what
now
I want to,
he's gonna know the truth.
What I want to find out when I listen to the podcast, I'm like so talk quiet like this. If you can make me louder, I know that he's just sandbagging on me.
I can make you louder.
There,
how's that?
Try that.
Wow.
Check, check, check.
Check, check, check.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the Flight Test Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Flight Test Minis.
Flight Test Minis? Mighty Minis.
Mighty Minis.
Mighty.
Flight Test Mighty Minis.
We got to give Jim a shout out for that because he was the one that encouraged the name of Mighty Minis. Did you know that?
No, I did not know
Yeah,
that.
We were back in the back break room, and I shouldn't say break room, the laser room. And
definitely not the break room.
Yeah, definitely not the break room.
The opposite of the break room.
Yeah. And Jim's like, you know, we should call these Mighty Minis because he saw us crashing like crazy. And I guess there was something that he used to work on with Windows in the back a long time ago when he worked at Heartfelt True Value. And there was something called the Mighty Minis. Yeah. He's like, these are like Mighty Minis. And
nice.
Hence the Mighty Minis.
So we ripped off Heartfelt Hardware.
Yes, we did. But you know what? I think it has something to do with Windows. So I think we're enough different that it's okay.
I think we're in a different enough different enough sector that it won't bother us.
People are probably saying, what in the world's going on? I'm hearing different voices. And this is not the normal way it starts. So why don't we say who's here?
Yeah, sure. I'm Austin Fury.
I'm looking at you, Peter.
Oh, okay. I'm Peter.
Shreeple.
Peter Shreeple, yes. For the people.
How about now?
I'm Jen.
That's my wonderful wife. She's pretty. I love her. And I'm Josh Bixler.
And
Max here?
Max is here.
Max is somewhere.
Max is down by our feet. And Alex is not here. You're going to say that.
Yeah, I was going to say Alex isn't here. Alex is actually wrapping up his honeymoon.
Yes.
So if you're linked to the Facebook Flight Test Facebook page, you'll see that Alex and Lindsay got married last week.
Did you ever know that he could dance like that?
I did not.
Holy cow.
He's been holding out on us.
If I tried that move that he did, I would be broken in half. So
Jen and I were talking about that. Our husbands did that. They'd never get off the floor.
Oh, my golly. A matter of fact, I think the next flying event, someone go up to Alex and say, Alex, I heard you have a wicked signature dance move. Please do it right now. And we'll encourage that. So,
that's true. Yeah, he's been holding out on us all this time.
It was a beautiful wedding. Absolutely. That is one of the most adorable couples, don't you think, Jen?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. We're a little biased.
But. Oh, no. It's true. It's true. It was a beautiful wedding.
Lindsay's a sweetheart.
She's great. She's great. And we're pulling Jen in here strategically because obviously we're missing an Alex, but Jen's been doing a lot behind the scenes to take care of something she talked about at Flight Fest. So that's going to be the swag, huh?
You are correct.
That's yeah. I think she's probably the most qualified person to talk about that. So when we get to that, that's why Jen's here. Also, it's just good to have you, Jen.
Thank you.
So the FT Mighty Minis,
yes.
Why are they called the Mighty Minis and when are they coming out and what are they going to be? And
I know they're the Mighty Minis because Josh wouldn't call them cute. I thought they were cute.
See, I think that the
Mighty Minis,
I think that the podcast crew deserves a preview sneak peek from
I think you're right.
From Monday's episode. So I think that we should give them the inside scoop.
Okay. Well, the reason they're called Mighty Minis is because they simply will not die. You can try and try and try, and they will not die. And Peter, you even...
Actually, you could step on them, and they'd probably die.
No, not even then. You could put a Mack truck over them. No.
Well, Max tried to take Mitchell's, right?
Yeah.
He got it off the workbench, and it survived.
Yeah, along with Mitchell's sandwich. The Mighty Minis, the neat thing about them is they're designed around a 250 size quad racing quad motor. And you can go down to like any like your beasts, your 10-gram motors with a 2,000 kV, the swing little 5-inch props. That's like the light setup. But what we really found is that awesome little 250 size motor. You put it on a 2-cell with a 5-inch prop, it's like a Blue Wonder, kind of flies a plane like a Blue Wonder. You put a 3-cell with a 5-inch prop, it flies it like the beef. You put a 6-inch on a 2-cell, and it flies it right in the middle. So you have such versatility out of one motor. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And the Mighty Minis are really a desired where a lot of people don't have a big area to fly in. A lot of people don't have the ability to, have open spaces. So let's go ahead and make something smaller, more maneuverable so they can either fly indoors, outdoors, or in their backyard, but also use as a training tool. One thing we've talked about and hinted about is like FT connections. Mm-hmm. That's where we're going to be, and we're going to talk about it in great depth later, but going into schools, making STEM programs, networking with amazing people. I can't wait to share once that's finalized. and then also with church groups. So people can get the educational benefits in the school. They can get the social benefits through the church groups, kind of like what we did with the flying ministry before flight tests existed. And then also go to clubs that really want to bring numbers back and kind of teach them our core values and how we engage people, how we love on people, because really the planes are just a vehicle to something greater. But something had to be made where a smaller plane could go into these areas. You know, a school could have planes in their gymnasium or in their back baseball diamond, and a 5-inch prop is a lot less intimidating.
It still hurts.
But it is a lot less intimidating, and a lot of people, just when they see something smaller, they're not nearly as, you know, scared of breaking it. And what we found is just using the same techniques we have currently, the same foam board, you can make a really resilient, strong airplane because you're carrying, what, about 4 ounces maybe?
Yeah, I'd say about in the neighborhood of like 4 to 6 ounces. Yeah. I mean, we got them up to like 8 ounces, would you say?
With a GoPro on it.
Yeah, the GoPro on it, stick and all that.
Yeah, it flew a GoPro. I couldn't believe it. On average, the wingspans are about 20, 22 inches. And our goal is to release through this build season 2 at a time. And
I was going to say, I noticed that it's the Mighty Mini series.
Yeah.
So that would imply there's going to be more.
Yeah, and it's not just going to be like that we're going to take every one of our designs and shrink them down. We tried that with the old Fogey, and it was flyable, but it was horrible. Absolutely horrible. If we could insert the Swedes horrible thing right there, it would be that horrible.
Yeah.
Because it just, the wing rock and everything, scale does not like to go down. It likes to go up.
Right.
So, you know, the old Fogey was scratched, but I was sitting on a plane called the, I was originally calling a Pioneer or the Endecker, but it was basically like a classic 1919 looking airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And that one scaled down beautifully.
Nice.
So we're not just going to be shrinking down everything, although a lot of them will be shrunk down. We're also going to be adding new little ones that maybe in the future will increase in size.
So you'll see some old flight test favorites shrunk down a little bit. You'll also see some new stuff kind of thrown in.
Yep.
So for this first two release, it's going to be the FT Scout.
The FT Scout, and what that is it's a mashup of the old 1919 looking airplanes. It's like an Endecker smashed up against a Proctor Antic, which I believe is a real popular RC model from back in the day.
You remembered the word.
Yeah, I was like, oh, please don't let me forget that word, Antic. Yeah, Proctor Antic, and I think a lot of the old-timers flying that will know.
Terrible name.
It is a weird name, isn't it?
Antic, I don't even know where it comes up with that.
We've been going back and forth all week trying to remember it. Every time we remember it, we forget it.
Yeah.
I can't remember it either.
Yeah, it was bad, but basically it's a fun mashup of that beautiful era where people started really, you know, defining what an airplane, a conventional airplane, looked like. And you had German planes, British planes, American planes that all carried the same kind of theme, and they all flew wonderful. So I went ahead and shrunk that down, and I think we just popped out, and it really flew good out of the box. Just a couple thrust angle issues to dial in. But Peter, you did an amazing job spraying them up. That's one of my favorite things about it. This is a dollar sheet of foam board.
It looks like a cool little antique airplane. It's really cool.
From 20 feet away, and one of my biggest inspirations is Stevens Aero Models. I don't know. You're familiar with them, aren't you, Peter?
Yeah. I've never bought any of the products, but I've seen tons of them, though.
I've only gotten to play with a select few because they're pretty pricey. But the looks and the way they fly is just gorgeous. So if we can try to strive towards that standard with Dollar Tree foam board so people can build it for a buck or buy a kit for 15, you know, that's my goal. I want people to be able to have something that they're really happy with. And actually, you were asking about releases, right?
Yeah.
The Scout's the first one, and then we're also releasing the Baby Speedster.
Nice.
And Jen, that's your favorite, isn't it?
It is. It's the cutest thing.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. Josh, you made a Baby Speedster a long time ago when we first were kind of thinking about doing some mini planes. And we thought, well, you know, we should really wait until indoor season to release these.
I wept within.
It actually came from a request from my uncle.
Yeah.
He wanted Josh to shrink it down, see if he could do it.
Oh, yeah.
Does Bob listen to this show?
I don't know. I can tell him.
Maybe, maybe he will since he got a shout out.
He watches all the videos. So. Yeah,
thank you, Bob Polka.
Yeah, I remember when when you first made that, that's one of the first things my mom said. She's like, I would fly one of those.
Yeah.
So. It's too cute.
It seems cute, to connect. And you know what? It flew. This is what bothered me the most about the mini Speedster is it flew better than the big Speedster. Because the big Speedster, you know, you could get a warped wing and it would just destroy the characteristics of it.
Yeah.
This thing's so small. You know, you really have to work hard to warp the wing. And
well, somebody made me one and they put a little man that's supposed to simulate you in the cockpit.
That was Dave Knopp.
Yeah, he colored, it's funny because he colored his hair and then he sanded most of it off.
That's one of the dollar stories, isn't it?
I think it was.
My favorite was the massive amount of muscles. Apparently it was a wrestler figure.
Yes, but
Dave Knopp colored it in with a Sharpie marker.
He did. And he gave him a black shirt. Logo free, but it is a black shirt.
And the mouth on the thing was wide open. Which I think that
like a clown, like a creepy clown.
Yeah, it was pretty creepy.
Trying to catch bugs in his mouth. Yeah,
they promptly put it on Jen's desk and put it there. And I think, a matter of fact, JR, we're going to be flying. We may be buddy boxing you on it, huh?
That's what I'm hearing.
Yep. That'd be cool.
So we're throwing around the bus. But
well, I prefer to learn to fly outside when it's bigger and there's less things to hit, but we'll see how it goes.
We'll get her a couple times up in the air before then. But so the Speedster and the Scout are going, and Peter, you did a great job FPV in these things. You want to talk about that?
Hmm? FPV rigs? As far as those things go?
What are you playing with? What are you doing on your phone?
Internet stuff.
You know what?
Flight test stuff.
I've seen a common thread between Alex and Peter with having a multitask.
Actually, I'm researching FLIR cameras.
Oh, nice. Stay tuned for our next episode.
Are we going to blow my next paycheck on that?
We could put a FLIR camera on FT Minis. No, I was kidding.
But yeah, the micro setups are basically sourced from components all over the internet. Some of that stuff's actually been around for a while. I'd say roughly about 3 years or so. And I've been playing with it for about 2 years now. Horizon's just come out with their new one too, which is really cool because now you have a plug and play option that's really easy to use from what I understand, but I haven't actually got my hands on one yet. So
you're a little sad because you've been flying these little ones around with the Nano, and then suddenly now they're coming out with the Nano that's FPV.
Actually, no, I'm excited. I want one.
Yeah,
we had a Nano outfitted, we had a Proto X outfitted, and then I showed showed Peter the Horizon FPV Nano.
Yeah,
it actually does look pretty nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want
one. Looks like they did a pretty good job.
It's going to be a lot of fun
for people that just like want something just to smash around and aren't planning on getting super serious or just aren't that great at it yet. That'll be a lot of fun.
Between the Vapor and the Nano FPV, that's going to be so much fun. I mean, imagine flying around your office and everything. Mm-hmm. But Peter, we're going to have a video after the minis of Peter actually source at the parts. We'll have a list of where to get it because these things really performed.
Yeah.
And everyone knows how much we love Immersion RC. Their technology, the goggles through Fat Shark that they work with and all their video transmitters. But what I loved is the fact that the Fat Sharks worked on the parts that you sourced out. And that's not every case, but we got amazing results. Nowhere near the quality of a 600 milliwatt immersion thing, but there's no way a Mini could carry a 600 milliwatt
transmitter.
Yeah, and all the power
required. It'd probably smoke everything on board, and the power consumption is more than the Mini.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, so that's the biggest thing. But wow, to get to build those things and see how they performed. We had one, I was flying towards a tower.
Yeah, what would you say? That's about 2,000, 3,000 feet away or so?
Easily. And it was funny because I kept pointing towards the tower, but the wind was actually blowing me away. So I didn't realize that I was just constantly, because I was just focused on the cell tower.
You were focused on past the cell tower, because when you turned around, the cell tower is about from here to there to there to here. Same distance, so you're doubling the distance.
Well, and you nailed it. I was like, okay, I'm close enough to the cell tower. I went to turn around 180, and I'm like, wait a minute, why am I heading towards? There's a junkyard just behind it. And then I realized I was over that junkyard, which means easily 2,000 feet away. And it took everything to get that thing back home, but rock solid signal.
That's awesome.
And it's a little tiny.
Except for when you turn sideways, because, we had the linear antennas on them.
Yeah.
What would you say, Peter, that whole setup cost, start to finish, for that little micro FPV setup?
For the transmitter and camera, I would say probably around $85.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's 200 milliwatts, too, which I believe the Horizon's only 10 milliwatts.
Yeah.
So you got a lot more power putting out through these. But the problem with this, though, is this requires about an intermediate soldering amount of skill and all that.
Okay.
Theirs is just you pull out of the box, plug it in. I mean, it doesn't get any simpler than that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's definitely going to work with your immersion and Fat Shark gear, which is cool. But, we had a great time flying. We went to Josh Scott because he's incredibly busy with the church. We actually went to the church. They have an undeveloped area, as they call it. And if any of you guys have ever seen some of our old videos with the original, it was called the Blue Dart, where we did it. We coined it the FT Flyer because we loved it so much, and we thought everyone should build it for the first plane. But the review on the Blue Dart was done in that same area. And when we went back there, it felt just like old.
Yeah.
We used to be there, and we saw the old furnace that, you know, Josh got landed the plane on before. And Peter, it was about 30 seconds before you had that crashed thing up in the air. he was literally, we were still unloading stuff and we were, and you're off with the FPV and he's flying and immediately tries to go through the girders with the thing.
Mm. That's what I remember doing with the Champ in my FPV setup. I actually lost one of those whole camera setups at the Akron indoor event. There was this one thing, was it HEF or something by Mark Sturmer or whatever, the indoor
holiday electric fun fly.
Yeah. I was flying the Champ around. I was like, oh, this is so cool, weaving up between the rafters and, you know, like seconds away from making a mistake. And guess what? I made a mistake. So I crashed it and the Champ comes down, but the camera's just laying up there on the rafters. And that thing's like, you know, like 200 feet up in the air. It's like, there's no way I'm getting that back. And I still haven't got it back.
No, and you never will either.
Nope.
Well, we found out really quick that the word Mighty Mini definitely was deserved, because within 30 seconds, carnage was taking place on those planes.
We smashed those things for about 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. I repositioned my wing.
Hard hits.
Yeah, we were everything. You know, steel girder, steel. And I felt bad because originally I wanted to fly in the main area of the church, the big gathering area up in the front of the lobby, because it's huge. I'm so happy we didn't.
It's probably for the best.
It's really good. We went through how many props, Peter? Probably 10 props.
At least 10 props.
Yeah.
I mean, that's props are the only thing you're breaking. Oh, we also smashed the spinners too. Because have you ever seen those the prop spinners and prop nuts where you stick an Allen key and tighten them through there?
Yeah.
We completely crushed that part.
We hit it so many times it literally cracked off the tip of the nose.
We were pile driving.
into beams, pillars, walls, everything.
But the good thing is, at the end of the day, even my two boys, they're now officially homeschooled. And Jen, I'm going to let you talk about, because Patrick Murphy, who's part of our community, really helped out with that. But our kids are homeschooled, so we get to spend a lot more time with the kids now. But they even got to fly the minis too. And Noah did some pretty cool maneuvers with it. And Michael, I gave him the one that was bashed up. He did pretty good too.
Yeah.
But they both liked the Scout the most.
Yeah, Peter was mostly flying the Scout, and Josh was mostly flying the Speedster. So we'll put a lot of that footage in the in the upcoming release video Monday. Yeah. That'll be awesome.
Do you like flying through the woods, Peter? That was fun yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that was a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah, we took it because the reception was so poor on FPV indoors. We went outdoors, and it was dead calm. And we were flying formation, and just like with the quadcopter shooting through the woods, we got to...
It's the same thing with the minis.
Yeah.
Except the crappy camera quality. It's 640 by 480 or something like that.
Well, that's because we're recording off of DVRs and stuff. So, you know, you're going to get a little bit reduced quality. But still, to be flying something that's, you know, under 10 ounces... You know, at a basic jogging speed through woods is so cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing what people do to it.
Yeah, it should be awesome.
All right. That's enough gushing over the Mighty Minis.
Well, actually, if we have voicemails related to our main topic, I try to play those at the top.
Oh, cool. So do you got some?
We have two Mighty Mini voicemails.
Mighty Mini.
So let me get this going. There we go.
Hi, guys. This is Paul from Stony Creek, Ontario, Canada. What I'd like to know is if you guys could do a show on building a plane, how you come up with the idea, the designing of the plane on scratch paper, whatever it takes, to the process of drawing it out on your program and testing it, and then doing maidens and then noting good points and bad points and everything like that. I've written a couple of articles, the Delfer, the Jenny, and the Avro Arrow, and I just want to know how you guys go about creating a plane right from the start to the finish. I think it'd be very interesting. Anyway, thanks a lot for everything you've done. You've actually created a monster within me now, and I love it. So once again, thanks a lot for everything you've done, and keep it up, please.
So I had that one labeled Mighty Minis, which obviously was not the case, but we can answer that one up top.
It's good because it's relevant, and also we can kind of give it a Mighty Mini spin.
We also got the question cut a lot sometimes, too.
What's that?
I see that question pop up a lot.
Yeah. And it's also one of the biggest things we want. We don't want to just be designing stuff and not having other people be equipped for it, so it doesn't hurt to always go over that again. One thing is that... when you're designing and everything, just keep in mind that lift does not like to go smaller. It likes to go bigger. And oftentimes when you're dealing with a model airplane, the features and the scale compared to full scale is going to be different. Oftentimes the tail assemblies and the tail sections are going to be bigger.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like an airliner to airfoil. I mean, if you scale down an airliner to airfoil perfectly, your model will never leave the ground.
No, No. Molecules never change size. So one of the biggest things is just understand, like, say you set out and you want to design a plane that looks like a full scale. You can't just simply take the 3D view. You can do it, but the performance is definitely not going to be where you want. We'll pick on the Mustang. The Mustang, if I kept the dimensions the same, the wings would be in about four inches shorter. And also much, much more narrow. And the tail would have been, I think it's a total of like 3 inches shorter. So it was very disproportionate. We actually drew it up and then roughly, like say a full-scale plane, you know, the tail is 1/4 size, you say, 20%, to a quarter the size. It's honestly between 30 and 35%, you know, the size. So generally you got to increase the tail. Keep in mind that your moments and everything, moment is where the tail is positioned. I love short and squatty airplanes. That makes CG even more important.
It looks cute, but, you know, it's like pitch instability and yaw instability, too.
Yeah.
So longer tails generally help. But, yeah, I would definitely agree with increasing the vertical stabilizer size. Because every time I see a newbie start, they always have, like, the tiniest elevator and tiniest rudder.
Yeah.
It seems to be, like, some kind of thing to make those really small.
Well, it's what they see in the real world when you look at a full scale.
Scale, yeah.
I mean, some
of
these are even smaller, though, for most of the designs I've seen.
Yeah, it's always good to kind of exaggerate your features, you know, because a bigger stabilizer is going to make it more stable. Mm-hmm. But now you make it too big, now you're going to have to deal with the fact that you have to have more nose weight. So with the Mighty Minis, we actually went originally down to 50%. The plane flew pretty good, but it wasn't a beginner-style airplane, especially the Speedster. The Speedster was fine, but if you put it into a stall, it would tip stall. The torque of the motor is really, you know, affecting it aggressively. And we found so far is every plane is a little bit different. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to cut everything by 50 or 55. We built one at 50. We built one at 60. That was too big. It kind of felt like a little bit more floaty. Didn't have quite the power we wanted. It was 55% on this case. Mm-hmm. So we found, okay, 20 to 22 inches on the size motor gives us the wing loading and everything happy. Now I went over to the Cruiser and made a 55% cruiser. And it's going to be a really cute desk model. So it'll never take to the air.
It'll fly, but it'll have vicious tip stall characteristics. And it will not turn very slowly.
No, it's going to be a rocket ship, and that's not our desire. So the Speedster's probably going to be about 60 to 65%. So just keep in mind, and when people design, don't worry about trying to make a finished product right off the bat. Get it in the air as quick as possible. Get rough cut things. If you start having success, then you can start refining it. A lot of people try to have a refined process all done in their head, right to the computer, right to reality. The best thing is to hack some foam up and get it in the air as quick as possible just to find out what are the tendencies I got to attack. And then as you refine it, you're actually improving it too.
Yeah.
Well, and I know just from watching you guys, some of them you hit it really quick. First or second plane, third plane, it's great. But the Shinden is a completely different story.
Shinden.
You guys have been playing with that one and you think you got it. And then, so I know it definitely does take.
There's a standard that we have. It has to be repeatable. You know, it can fly good, but if it only flies good if everything is exactly 100% perfect, we don't put it out there. And the Shinden will fly amazing. We took it to E-Week, and it flew phenomenal. You know, we actually went down with three, came back with three. People loved it. But what we found in reconstructing it, if one thing was just a little bit off, in this case it was the fins or the CG, the thing simply would not fly well. So, Peter, you've been a huge help with that, and we've learned a lot through the process too. And definitely, when that video comes out, we'll be sharing that, you know, all that we learned and all of our failures.
I think it's definitely the longest it's taken you guys to perfect one.
That's pretty hilarious, actually.
Usually they're pretty quick, but this one, oh my goodness! I think we have so many Shindens laying around the house.
We also lost one too. One's out there in the field somewhere with a nice motor in it.
Yeah,
gone forever.
It's out there. Yeah, it has the Omega, the 3D Hobby Shop Omega motor on it, which kills me inside to think it's out there.
I'm pretty sure someone took it because Alex went out there and tried to find it, and it was gone.
Yeah, there's a factory close by to us. My guess is it probably landed in their yard, but that's okay. Maybe they'll watch flight tests and do something cool with it. But yeah. The ladies, what is it like for you guys when we go out and test fly planes?
It's definitely interesting. We'll try to guess as you guys head out there if we notice right away, is this one going to fly or not?
Well, we're in an old driving range, so the whole like production area, offices area,
we can watch everything.
Area. Yeah, there's just huge windows everywhere, so failures are no secret.
Sometimes we're watching it outside, sometimes we'll be shipping and something will fly past our heads, and It's kind of just...
It keeps life interesting, doesn't it?
It does. I'm so used to it now. I don't really turn. We had a visitor here the one day, and you guys flew through, and they about hit the deck. I mean, they just went down. And I'm like, oh, that's all right. It happens all the time.
Yeah, there's always something flying back into the shipping room or the laser room.
Or flying into the window.
Or the window, yeah. Matter of fact, Peter, you were... yesterday was probably a really amazing day. Because, Peter, you have a huge project you're working on. Do we? Can we go into that?
Yeah, why not?
It's already on Facebook with like half a million or quarter of a million views.
Well, no, we released that Facebook post, and the Facebook post has been viewed by, it was just under a million people. So I would say that it's probably okay to talk about it on the podcast.
I'm riddled with ADD right now. Like, I'm jumping. It's like, oh, wait, we were talking about this, and I switch gears. I don't want to do that too much because probably frustrates people.
Well, it's still on the Mighty Minis topic.
Do you guys hear the fire alarm going off on the laser?
Yeah, just so you guys know, that's the fire alarm. Let's just know when there's a fire.
I wonder. It happened a few minutes ago, too.
Yeah, we got people back there. No worries.
Well, I'll tell you what. Before we go into that, because we're not going to forget about it, because how could you?
You got another voicemail, don't you?
I have one more voicemail for Mighty Minis.
That's what I do.
And then we'll continue on the Mighty Mini topic, because this is our main topic. All right, here we go.
Hi, this is Jenk from Germany. First, thank you very much for your great show and podcast. I really enjoy it much over here in Germany and Europe. I've got a question concerning your upcoming mini-series. I'm really looking forward to it, and I'd like to ask if you could give some hints which electronics we should get, because sometimes it takes a lot of time for shipping. So if you just could give a hint or list them up in the show notes, that would be really great. So keep on flying, continue your great show, and so on.
Actually, right when we walk out of here, Josh, you're going to need to sit down and do that, because I'm going to actually release an image of that on Facebook.
Okay.
I'm going to put in the show notes, and I need to send it to a few electronics people. So that's a good reminder.
Yeah. And we're trying to learn from what we did in the past with the swappables, where we're kind of like, it was like pinning gel to the wall. What's the best electronics pack? And really, most things would work on those. That was the beauty of it. But in this case, we want people, ultimately, the whole entire product line that we have, three motors. We'll fly any of our minis. We'll fly the swappables, and also fly our multi-rotor designs.
Yeah.
Because they're all based on common KV motors, common sizes that are cheap. In this case, 250 size, 2200 KV or higher, swinging a 5-inch to 6-inch prop to 2 to 3 cell operation. As far as the servos go, which is a big thing with minis, a lot of people think, oh, I got to go 5.5 gram. We're actually flying the Scouts on 9-gram servos. So,
which is terribly irresponsible.
It's not right, but 5-gram servos are great.
Yeah.
The reason we wanted to test it with 9-gram is not everyone has the ability to get the 5-gram. We wanted to see if we can be like, okay, if you have to, you can use these. And sure enough, the Scout flies fine. The old Speedster flies fine. It may not be like that for every single one of our designs, because they're just, those are thick servos.
Like for 4 servos on a little airplane, it starts piling on the weight.
Oh, yeah.
You'll notice it when you try to slow down.
Well, and in the Scout, you definitely, with a 5-gram setup and going to a 9-gram, it definitely had a little bit more speed. Where the servos lay on those two designs is right by the CG. So you can, all you're doing is adding weight at that point. But so that's it. And then as far as battery goes, 2-cell to 3-cell. We're flying 500 milliamp 2-cells all the way up to 900 milliamp 2-cells. And then the 3-cell setup, it's basically 500 smaller.
Yeah, 360 milliamp, 500 milliamps, about there, I'd say so.
But on the 900 milliamp, it balances that beautiful. And we're getting like 15 minutes.
Yeah, like excessively long flight times with this thing.
Ridiculously long. So my favorite's the 2-cell setup. We're flying FPV with that 6.3 to 6.45 prop. And on the 2-cell, and it flew fantastic. Nothing got over warm. Peter, you did discover one thing, though, is since there's not much ventilation in there.
Mm-hmm. The AC is on fire.
Yeah.
It melted the heat shrink off of the speed controller. Somehow it didn't shut off, too, while I was flying.
Yeah, it was fine. But what you want to do is there's a little miniature power pod in there that you can put in there. When you put that in there, there's a space behind that where the air will flow up in there. Don't tuck your power pod all the way up or your ESC and glue it down in the power pod. Let it be back over the wing so the air can cool that down. Mm-hmm. And I think you were flying, weren't you flying 3-cell with a... You're flying irresponsible, though.
Yeah, 3S with a 6-inch prop for a little bit.
Yeah, don't do that.
But then I was flying 3S with the 5x3, and it was still overheating inside the power pod.
So it creates like a little pocket. There's no air movement, and it doesn't matter how responsible, it's going to get hot. So we'll have that in the build video to talk about.
That's what I was going
to
ask. Since I know we're recording build videos today, so we are going to do electronics install for the build video. That's great.
We're going to keep the same exact thing that we did on the old swappable format. We're going to have a little pod electronics setup. Cool. And then that'll be a standalone video, and then we'll have the build videos, and we'll refer to the pod electronic setup.
That's cool.
The nice thing, no linkage stoppers. It's very, very simple with this because you literally cut your servo, and there's a space there. So you center your servo, and then you glue it where it's centered. And we'll show that in the build video. Also, this gentleman was from Germany, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this because with these smaller planes, we're going to be able to ship first class. For the speedboat kits. And also, a lot of people don't have the foam. We're currently working with Adams. I think we're 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away from getting our first shipment of foam board. And we're going to be containering this stuff all around the world. Our goal is, when we say build a plane for a buck, that we mean it. And our goal is to get it down to Europe and those nations. It's not going to happen in 2 weeks. But once we get delivery, great folks have been working with us to get logistics to make that a reality through, I think it's UPS. So it'll be a pick and pull system through UPS, and that way we can get it down there and people can order it and have it very economically and build planes.
So basically what you're saying is there's going to be a flight test branded box of foam board.
Yeah.
It says flight test foam board on our store. Mm-hmm. And then somebody, will, no matter where they are in the world, will be able to go click on that in the store.
Yeah.
And then based on where they are located, it'll choose which picking center in the world it's going to ship from.
It's going to be something like that.
Yeah,
it may be like a European warehouse kind of thing.
Sure.
Similar to how Hobby King kind of has it set up. This is what's in this. But along with that foam, we're going to send our elements, which are the firewalls, the control horns, and everything, because we absolutely love the fact that people support us through the speed build kits. And frankly, that makes up a lot of our budget that we can operate off of. So,
yeah.
But it would be dishonest to, in my mind, to just give them the speedboat kits. I want people to be able to have the experience and have the fun of cutting out the raw material and then build themselves as economically as possible. And the speedboat kits, we don't hide the fact. I mean, this is a dollar worth of material. The reason we charge $15 for the kit is because all the laser cut time and the amount of handling.
Yeah, I think
but
people understand.
We want people to be able to build it for a buck, and the more people that can do that, more people get in the hobby. So that's going to be a solution coming up, and we're going to brand it Flight Test Foam. It's still the Adams Ready board. The only reason we're not calling it Dollar Tree Foam Board is there's no Dollar Trees over there.
Well, it makes it easier to find, makes it easier to recognize, and I think people have even started calling it Flight Test Foam. So.
Yeah, it's our
boxes
favorite foam.
Boxes look cool, too.
And Peter's going to help us in the future, too, with finding other materials as well and help us get waterproof.
Yeah, Dipron. People actually do complain about that, too, because they go over across the pond, Foam board's not available there. People have access to Depron, things similar to Depron.
And we'll probably put some videos together and show people how they can build it out of Depron. The reason I like Flight Test Foam or foam board is because it's cheap.
Yeah.
We crash a lot.
We have a voicemail coming up about Depron, so
cool.
Peter, you'll like that. So let's talk about real quick before we move into our next segment about Peter's project.
Yeah.
That is also FT Mini related.
Yes, it is. Thank you for that, Peter.
What?
We're looking at you now, Peter. Give me your phone. Give
this.
Me your phone.
This Seek thermal camera. I still want one of these now.
All right.
It's only like $200.
So what Peter did is Peter took a Volkswagen Beetle. I'm just messing with you. I'm
wait,
waiting
what?
For you.
I was like, okay, I don't remember doing that.
I wanted to see
awesome.
How zoned out he was.
Hey, Peter, if you're not listening, we can say whatever we want.
All right. So, Peter, Peter talked about your project. Give me your phone.
I'll talk about a Volkswagen Beetle.
There you go. That's next episode, huh?
Which project? The Helicarrier?
The Helicarrier, yeah.
It's a flying boat.
It does look like a flying full-size canoe. Right.
I will say, when he first started it, I thought he was doing a boat, and I was like, what are we doing?
It literally looks like the size of a kayak.
Yep. You could probably get in it. We could float Max down a river.
We could.
Or float Max in the air with it.
Will it be, it looks like you waterproofed it. Will it be able to float?
Yeah. It could float anyways with the regular foam under there, but the reason for the papering is durability, because I want it to last a little while, because little planes will be crashing into it left and right, upside down, right side up, into the side of it, into the back of it, all over.
Into the
bottom of it. They'll punch little holes in the paper, but the nice thing about doing that technique is it's super easy to hide the repairs.
Oh,
you just put a new piece of paper on with a little bit of the polycrylic and put a little paint over it, and you will never know it's been crashed into.
It's amazingly strong and light too. What's the motors that you're running on this thing?
Those are like Avrota lift motors. Those are like 130 something bucks.
Yes, I know that.
They're ridiculous, and I know you just hated the idea.
No, let's be honest. You're like, I asked you one question. Are you gonna be able to pull it off? And then he gave me the look. I am Peter Schriepel. Of course, I will be able to pull it off.
Sure,
and then
gosh.
And I gave you my credit card, and I said, go forth and build a big monstrous canoe that flies.
No. That's like $600 worth of components in that thing.
It was.
Oh wait, no, it's like $1,000. I forgot the vector.
Okay, yeah, I saw it on my statement. I know exactly what
you're
talking about.
There's a vector on there, too.
You know what? It's worth every penny and then some, because what you've done is amazing, Peter. The common materials you use, the simple build techniques, and you've made something extraordinary. And those lift motors are pretty. They sound
epic.
They're
really nice, and they come down just lukewarm.
Yeah.
For carrying, like, 15 pounds of aircraft carrier around.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It lifted up like the thing was just light as a feather. Mm. We got to see Peter fly this for the first time a couple days ago.
With the KK2 board.
With the KK. And then you put the...
That's a joke within itself.
The vector on it. And that was amazing. Did you have to do much tweaking with that?
I didn't even touch it. I just put it in there and started flying it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's got the one thing where, like most multi-rotors, you know, the propeller direction, how they...
Causes a twist.
Yeah, but they twist it the other way. Because if you look at the airframe, how it yaws, this is like a big technical thing, though. Super confusing, but just to let you know, yaw cancels out when you yaw with that thing.
Yeah.
Because of a little bit of airframe flex.
So we're going to have some special programming where you can change that. So when the frame does twist because of the torque, if anyone doesn't know when a quadcopter flies, to get the yaw motion, the two diagonal motors, one in the front left, one in the front right, or vice versa, will spool up. Well, that obviously, when you're twisting the airframe, because two motors are spooling
down. It's like taking
down.
An H, you know, like there's four motors in the ends of the H and then twisting the H.
Yeah.
So now you get a little bit of yaw there, too, just by naturally deflecting the airframe.
Yeah.
And right now, if everyone would set the propellers to go the right way, that could help you. But right now, for some reason, it's gotten a standard industry thing to make the propellers go the opposite way.
Well, and in reality, too, is the frame shouldn't twist, you know?
I know, because, it's good for everyone else for, like, normal stuff. Yeah. But when you get to really ridiculous things with just a little bit of airframe twist, I mean, you could use it to your advantage, but for some reason, the coating is just not to that.
Yeah, so we're going to get that switched over. And who's the guy at EagleTree that's been phenomenal working with us?
Bill Perry.
Yeah, he just contacted me last night, so we're going to start talking about this, but my phone reception was terrible.
It's incredible.
So he'll be coming back soon.
I can't wait. And as far as the vector system goes, seeing the boat fly was awesome, but seeing the features also with this vector system.
Return to Home was sketchy. Remember when we flipped that on?
Oh, my gosh.
It started spazzing out because it did not like how the yaw was going the opposite way every time I tried to put a yaw input in.
Yeah, it obviously needs to fly like a multi-rotor, not like a big flying boat. But what I loved about it is you got a flight controller, you got a current sensor, and you got an on-screen display with multiple colors. All built into one unit.
Yeah, vector plug.
And tons of features as well.
Yeah. Well, I think I told him I'm going to order a couple more here because I want to put them on a lot of different ships and really feel this out. But it's a phenomenal system. I can't wait to learn more. I know we're going to be doing a video on it. And when we talked to him, we were like, we want to put a vector in a big flying boat. He's like, that's cool.
Well, actually, his first question was, how big?
Yeah.
It's been interesting really to watch the process, too.
He was just like, he's like, I guess. That would work. I don't see why.
And it worked. It worked great, though, surprisingly. I mean, I expected to give a fit about flying such a weird multi-rotor with all this crap attached to it. But it just took off and started flying.
So Peter, you're going to be painting it today, right?
Yeah. It'll be pretty much ready to go. I'm just still bolting on the screens, things like that, finishing up the deck. But I should hopefully get to the whole preparation, getting that thing painted today.
Nice.
We're going to be taking it to Horizon Indoor.
Indoor.
Yeah, I got 1 week to finish it.
Formerly JR Indoor.
It's still JR Indoor to me. That's why I call it so many years.
Yeah. I've got Jim working on planes, and that's why I labeled it as JR Indoor.
But it's kind of funny, though, because it's like the Great Plains E-Fest, or it's now the Hobbyco E-Fest, and this is the JR Indoor, and now it's the Horizon Indoor.
Yeah.
It's the two different events have just changed names. It's like simultaneously.
Unreal.
I do have to say one thing that dramatically improved was their website.
Oh, wait, what?
Horizonindoor.com.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty slick. It's one of the nicer event websites I've seen.
Before, it was
terrible.
JR, it was like a slideshow of different, races and stuff.
This is like a legit website with like directions, schedule, hotel options.
I will say, it helped us get the hotels. Yeah. I booked those a couple weeks ago, and it was...
Thank you for doing that, by the way, because right now we'd probably be like, where are we going to stay?
Yeah, I see my planes in the corner in that picture.
Nice. That's awesome.
How many years? I think I've been going. This is
my fourth year, so you've been going for a long time.
Wow.
Well, Noah's surprise party for his 8th birthday. You guys were late to his surprise party with the birthday boy. The party had ended before he got there.
Yeah, I feel bad.
Because you guys
are
kind of having too much fun at JR Indoor.
Yeah, but it was a traffic jam, honest. It wasn't the fact.
Sure,
that
it was. You were driving so fast, you made your brother sick on the way home.
I did. And that wasn't even the first year we went. That was like the third time.
I know. No, Noah didn't actually miss his whole party. He just missed the first hour of his birthday.
Oh, my God.
Party.
I felt so bad.
He was definitely surprised when he got home.
He was. The party did not stop.
No, it didn't.
It was fun. And you know what? The biggest thing that impacted me was when I was younger, going with my dad. It was like Disneyland for me, you know, getting to fly and not having to worry about the weather and everything. And the reality is it's a big inflated dome that's kind of dark.
Well, I felt bad. The first year I went, which was 4 years ago, you had talked about it and you know I love Disney World. And you're like, this is like Disney. It's awesome. You just wait till you get here. And I got there and I warned you ahead of time, you know, this probably isn't going to be 100% my thing. So don't take offense to it. And you still to this day are very... sad that I don't think of it as Disney World.
She brought a reality check. If you look at the venue itself, it's a big air-filled pillow.
It's nice. I enjoy going and watching you and the boys, and this year we'll actually have products, which will help me. But
Jen's just like, have you actually been to Disney?
Yeah. I'm like, really?
Don't go, just advice to husbands, don't ever compare anything ever to Disney World to your wife, because it will never meet up unless the
wife doesn't care about Disney World, then you're cool.
Yeah. These things are my favorite things ever. JR Indoor is like the first like real indoor event I've been to.
Yeah.
And it pretty much blew me away, and it's been like my favorite type of events, the indoor events.
You get like 100 planes in the air nonstop. It's awesome.
It's fun just getting in with gaggle people.
And it definitely gets better each year when you get used to the atmosphere and the...
Well, you really like the gyros too.
I did. Gyros? I enjoy the food.
The food was good.
Yeah, the food was good.
The gyrocopters? I don't remember seeing any of those. No, only a handful of them.
But I'm excited for this year because we'll have products, so I will have something to keep me busy, occupy myself.
We're going
to
bring down a whole bunch of minis, some swag, a whole bunch of kits. We're going to be... Laser Toys has been gracious enough to let us partner up with their area. We did the same thing last year. So we're going to bring down a whole bunch of different product. Laser Toys will have electronics, and we're going to have a whole bunch of the minis flying around the people. And if you guys see the minis, except for my kids, I'm not going to take away my kids this year like I did last year. We'll have a whole bunch of minis. You can take them out to the flight line, put them to the test, have some fun with it. So we want to fly with you and make memories with you.
I'm trying to convince Anna and Charlie to drive down with me.
Nice.
So we'll see how that goes.
You'll be down Saturday?
Yeah.
Cool.
She said depends on how the night before goes.
You have a cute baby.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Well, let's talk about, before we talk about some store apparel, stuff like that, I know that's a big question a lot of people have, because we've done great with flight test t-shirts for a long time. Now we're trying to diversify a little bit, which it's a lot of work, but I think it's worth it.
Interesting process.
Yes. But before we do that, let's hear from a segment that Alex and I recorded about a week ago with a gentleman named Andrew, who's doing some really interesting things with paper planes. So you can have something that you can make if you're interested in paper planes, or have something to make with your kids that you don't actually have to go anywhere and buy anything. So let's roll that segment real quick. All right, we have Andrew Sharhag here with us. Andrew does some extremely interesting stuff with paper and flight tests. Obviously, we have all kinds of plans that we do things with foam, but Andrew has been playing with paper for a long time, and also he's a longtime fan of flight tests, so it's good to talk to Andrew.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys. Yeah, definitely been a fan for a long time. I can't say I've seen every single video, there's so many of them, but I've seen a good number of them. You guys certainly have a great time, and it's fun to watch. I enjoyed the whole sharing the hobby, all that stuff.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I've been following a little bit what you've been doing with paper airplanes and whatnot, and I like that. You know, again, it's just making flight accessible to more people. And, you know, because I guess it'd probably be pretty easy to get bored with a Chuck glider or something like that. But you make some really interesting paper airplane designs. Can you tell us about a couple of your favorites?
Yeah, sure. The idea behind it is that you as a, when you're making paper airplanes, you can make it a lot quicker, right? So you don't have to spend like an hour or maybe, you know, a little bit less than an hour going through having all the materials and everything that you need in order to make either, you know, FPV or any of that type of stuff.
Sure.
The way that the paper works, obviously, is a lot quicker. So you can present a flying object to maybe a kid or whatnot, or a person that isn't necessarily that interested in flight right away when they're real young, and get to the end result of actually flying much quicker and faster than having to go through the whole process of building something. If you build it with paper, it's a lot faster.
Very cool. Yeah, and that's that kind of runs parallel with what we do here at Flight Test, just making it more approachable. But you know, I mean, nothing's more approachable than a single sheet of paper that you can turn into a flying craft, which is, I think that's just awesome.
Yeah, and maybe speaking to answer your question a little bit more, if you'd like, some of the technical aspects, I guess, are the reason the planes are so awesome. I don't know if you've flown paper airplanes before, but a lot of times what happens is, you know, you fold it up and you've got like the pointy nose or whatever, you throw it, and you end up with that like dart type flight. You know, you throw it, it kind of goes up and then comes back down.
Mm-hmm.
Either that, or you end up with a like a stall, you know, where you throw it and it just kind of goes up towards the ceiling and it falls.
Yeah.
The way that the paper airplanes are designed in the book, they use a Klein-Fogelman step in the wings, in the shape of the design of the plane, so that essentially what happens is there's an air pocket created in underside of the upper side of the wing, and when it goes to try to stall, that air pocket escapes, and that helps level it out. So the end result is that the plane flies straighter for much longer, effectively making it a much more interesting paper airplane flight than your normal one.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. That sounds like a really unique design.
Yeah, I have to say, I would like to say that it was just growing up, but probably even to like teen years, a staple around my household was my little brother and I doing paper airplane contests for all sorts of different goals or achievements. And I have to ask you, is it just like computer printer paper, or is there any specific paper that works for better for different designs, or how's that work?
Yeah, so the way that the book is designed, it's an ebook. So what you do is you can print out an infinite number of templates, which is awesome. So you don't have to worry about running out of templates. But also, in the book, I described how printer paper itself isn't the ideal type because it's a little bit too flimsy. If you get paper that's a little bit heavier, you can get it any type of Office Depot, Office Max. And it's just a little bit heavier than printer paper, it holds its shape better, and that way you can fold it into the position it needs to be, add the proper weights, and it'll fly infinitely better than just a regular piece of paper.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
So you have an ebook that's available, and so basically you can click print on the pages in the ebook, and that's a folding template, or is that how it works?
So there's an ebook that has all the instructions that you need and how to make the planes, right? And then there's links within the instructions to a website, and the website holds all the templates. So you got the book open, you're going through the instructions. You have the piece of paper in front of you that has the template on it that you printed from the website, and you're able to use that to make the plane.
Okay.
Does that kind of answer your question?
Oh, yeah, I got it. So each of the designs and the instructions are in the book, and then you follow a link which sends you to the place where you can download the thing to print out.
Right, and yeah, part of the problem with, books before e-books is I ran into this problem. I'd buy a paper airplane book, and at the end of the book, you have to have so many templates, and you run out, and you're like, oh, no. So I don't think I have to copy them beforehand and all that.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool idea.
One thing that we try to ask people that are on the podcast that we interview, and we've interviewed quite a few people so far, is how did you get into flight? How did you get into the RC hobby and that sort of thing?
When I was pretty young, my grandfather, when I was coming to visit, he was a navigator in World War II with the B-17s over Europe. I know you guys recently got in the B-17. It must have been pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was really awesome.
And so he would come and visit. He would always bring little models, not the flying kind, but different kinds of like balsa wood models that were real intricate of planes, and we'd build them together. So that kind of got me interested. And then he would also bring books essentially on principles of flight. So I, you know, I'd be like interested, well, how does it go up? What happens? And I was probably like, you know, anywhere between 6 and 9 years old, and got me really hooked when I was young. He was very, very interested in building things. So he, for example, he built an MG, if you're familiar with those, like a kit car. He had that for a long time, and he also built a really beautiful wooden canoe that we still have up, that we, you know, use from time to time.
That's awesome.
So, really awesome. So he was a very inspirational person. Made a difference.
Well, very cool. Yeah, that's just great. It's pretty unique, the aviation community, and just it's unique how generations pass down, you know, that passion for flying and for aviation. I know Austin and I, both of our fathers are pilots, and we grew up around aviation. It's unique how the passion is just kind of passed on from generation to generation.
So, Andrew, I have made some paper airplanes and some pretty complicated ones in the past, and I'll be honest, I feel like I did most things right, and they didn't fly very well. In your professional opinion, what am I doing wrong?
So there's a lot of things that can make a paper airplane not fly well. Since paper is very light, the smallest thing in construction can cause a problem. However, the biggest thing that I see most of the time is when you make a plane, we all have to understand that the first few flights aren't going to be very good, regardless of how well you make it, because there's always little things about the paper. So one of the cool things about the book is in the back of the book, there's a big instructional like flow chart on a big sheet that explains to you, that you can like look at in the ebook too. It explains to you what to do when the plane doesn't fly great. So, for example, you make the plane, you throw it, so it goes down to the right. There's instructions in what might be causing that and things to adjust on the plane so that when you throw it again, you can make it go a different direction. And through that, you can control the flight of the plane, which I think is the whole point. That makes it really cool and exciting and fun. Again, that's the biggest, I think, difference in this book than you're likely to find in other places, because, you know, you make the plane, you throw it, and it doesn't fly well, and then you're like, oh, well, what do I do?
No,
but with this, you've got the template.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm actually looking at the section of the book right now, and that's really cool. And actually, not knowing what I was doing, I would do that anyway when an airplane didn't fly good. You know, just kind of like tweak thing. The only difference is I had no idea what I was tweaking. I was just changing things.
Yeah, because there's a whole bunch of variables that can make it do a whole bunch of stuff. So by having some type of guide to help you, you can, you know, make it do things that are much better. I had a friend once was able to, with, you know, no real instructions. He made a Coke can from across the room. It was pretty cool, and so he was really excited.
So I'm flipping through your book right now, Andrew, and it looks like there are some really, really, really cool designs. So what is the what's the minimum that somebody needs to get started making your designs? I'm assuming they would need that heavier paper that you mentioned you can pick up at Office Max or anywhere. Tape, I'm assuming some tape is involved, or?
Yeah, so what you'd want to do, what I would recommend is actually just start with basic printer paper. If you make the printer paper, it'll work. Like, I mean, you can use the printer paper and you don't have to go out and do it. But if you really, you know, want to get into it and have some really amazing flights, I mean, I'm in the process of currently making some YouTube videos that I'm going to stick up there on the website. But if you really are, you know, just entering, you can just use printer paper. That's fine. So you need printer paper, some Scotch tape, and scissors, and you. Maybe like a paperclip or some other, you know, piece of weight that you can stick in front to help get the just the right amount of weight balance on the plane. And the instructions show you how to do that. But other than that, then you're good to go.
That's awesome. Do you mind if for the show notes of this episode, if I take a screenshot of a design or two and put those pictures in the show notes so people can see what they're getting into?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, what is
they are some pretty good looking planes. So.
Yeah, they honestly look like a lot of fun. I might
I want to build one.
Yeah, I think that we're going to have some office contests. Actually, what would be really cool is if we put a bunch of these paper planes in an RC plane and then took them up and release them all at the same time and see how far they all go.
That'd be awesome.
That would be pretty cool. The you had the recent not the toaster episode, but the microwave plane.
Yeah.
I could pop open the door of the microwave.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. Cool, man. Well, if people want to check out your book or if they want to check out some of your designs, where can they find you out on the web?
I recently purchased a URL. It should be up and running by the time the podcast airs, called launchingpaper.com. And that will forward you to the Google site that has all the information on how to purchase the book. It's on basically every ebook retailer that you could possibly imagine.
Okay.
It's on, iTunes, Amazon, all the stuff.
And what is the title of the book?
ASS Paper Airplanes.
So that's
it's my initials, Andrew Frederick Scharhack.
Nice.
So ASS Paper Airplanes.
Very cool, man. All right. Well, we're definitely going to be checking that out and building some of your planes. And thanks for taking the time to be on the show.
Yeah, thanks. Good to meet you, man.
Yeah, you bet. I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Take care, bud.
Well, cool segment.
Yeah, it was nice of Andrew to take some time to record that with us.
I think everyone started with paper planes at one time in their life, too.
Actually all I remember doing at school.
How many teachers hated you?
Oh, a lot. Like, is that a paper airplane? Throw it in the garbage right now. And I make another one secretly and throw it somewhere.
I used to get so much flack because I'd put pins in the front of it, and then I would throw it into the ceiling and let them stick there.
Yes, we did this, too. We actually made these little star things with a little piece of gum and a staple. And you just straighten the staple and then you throw them in the ceiling, and the janitors got mad because of that.
I wonder why.
Bad at school. Where you just start throwing things all over the ceiling.
Kids, don't do that, okay? Back then, we were allowed to throw paper airplanes with pins and not get expelled. You will get expelled now.
At our school, before they redid the whole school, oh my gosh, they would have a fit. And they'd scream, I don't know if it was true or not, but the asbestos in the ceiling's going to come down and kill us all. So
I remember the asbestos.
Well, this you just said that, like, fondly. Ah, yes, asbestos.
That's how he comes up with some of his plane ideas. The
mesothelioma.
When it fills your lungs, there's no better feeling.
It was hysterical because back then it was just like what
really
you said.
Was.
Like, don't knock the asbestos down. They knew it was dangerous and it would kill you.
They painted over it, so as long as you didn't knock what's under that paint, you're all good.
Yeah. Just paint over it with lead paint.
Yeah. We're just showing how much older we are.
Peter's like, what's asbestos?
I know what it is, but I never had any of that.
Right, yeah.
I probably had, but don't worry. I didn't even care.
Don't breathe asbestos and you won't turn out like us.
I'm breathing worse things working with you guys.
Yeah,
sorry about that Taco Bell night's been rough on me.
The sad part is that a school is like the best place to fly a paper airplane. There's like so many like long hallways, gymnasiums, and like it's just high places to throw from. But
that's right.
Anyway, thank you, Andrew, for popping into that segment.
Yeah.
So, Jen, let's talk about apparel and what's going on in apparel world.
Well, apparel world.
At Flight Fest, everybody was asking me about apparel, and I have been making a case for it for, I don't know, a year now?
Yeah.
So then Fred Provost actually came up with the idea that I should ask you on the air during a podcast. So I had witnesses, so I did. And you gave me the reins to do whatever I wanted.
Yep.
Which really didn't mean do whatever I wanted because it's been...
I bottleneck her all the time. I'm sorry, love.
But I will say we've officially got some of it ordered and some very close being ordered. We have hoodies coming, mugs, travel mugs, polos.
Beanies.
Well, beanies were a big issue.
Oh, boy.
Issue.
The beanie gate is what it's called. The beanie gate.
I will say, working with, I don't know how many men here, 6-8 men, they all have a decision or an opinion. Yeah. I don't wear beanies, so I didn't care. Black beanie, put the logo on it.
And some of the
good
guys here, not mention names, Alex and Austin, have rather large melons. So.
Well, I don't think anybody's head is as big as Alex. And I mean, not meanly. He just really does have a large head.
One of the best things is when you put a Flight Test ball cap or try to on Alex's head. That is not ever going to be the poster child for our hats.
But anyway, beanies are close. We have the logo. We have the mock-up. We just are waiting to get the actual product in our hand to make sure it's what we want. That and the jacket are also coming in Lanyards are extremely close. Windsocks and lapel bags are a little farther out, but we are, they're in the works too. So
Trappy was awesome because Trappy has an amazing lapel bag.
He does.
And he was so gracious. Last time we were here, I was like, man, we'd love to get some flight test lapel bags. He emailed me the contact information of where he gets it because his not only are actual true lapel bags, but on the back they have the rules. So when you go into the airlines, you can show them, hey, look, this complies. Here's the rules printed right on it.
And we're getting there. Yeah. We definitely have some ready and some coming in. And I know just for the employees, you had me order some three-quarter length zips, which if they work out well, we'll go ahead and get those on the store too. But
you have an email, right?
I do have an email.
We should just have basically people with requests email straight to Jen. And that way she can find out where the pattern is. You may be editing this out. 1 million emails.
It's up to Jen.
Yeah.
No, but if, I
mean, we haven't said the email yet.
If they really do have ideas that we haven't mentioned and ideas that maybe others might want to, if it's something just you yourself are going to want, maybe not the best idea to email me, but we definitely, I'm interested in getting more of that on the store for a couple reasons, but we don't have to make it swollen.
I'm happy to be stepping out of that because right now I'm a cheapskate.
Well, and I was going to say that. I was going to say between Peter's thing and then me ordering swag, I think you've been having many heart attacks about every other day. We'll come to you and be like, okay, we're ready to order hoodies. How many do you want? And you're like,
how much?
Oh, and then you start rubbing the head. And I know it's not good.
Do I really rub my head that much?
Yes, you do.
That's why
you have no hair.
You're frictioning off all your hair.
I do that. I rub my head a lot. It's like, oh boy.
You can give the email. I don't care. It's not like they can't figure it out anyway if they know flight test at all.
I'm not saying it's jen@flighttest.com. I'm not saying that.
Well, no, the best part was the other day when you had to ask me what my email was.
Yeah, well, I don't email you. I just walk over and talk to you.
But I like Jen at Flight Test, really?
Yeah, jen@flighttest.com.
Yeah, but it's all coming. We have a lot of it should be in next week and the week after, and then we'll be able to get it up on the store, but I'm excited.
So maybe this is a good way to word it. What things will be actually on the store ready to order before Christmas?
Maybe that's a good way to put it. Yeah, we're going to have the jackets, the hoodies, the beanies, the mugs, the travel mugs, lanyards, polos, and I'm hoping to have the windsocks and lipo bags, but those two are, I need Josh's help a little more with those.
Yeah, those are probably a little bit farther down the line.
My goal is to have them up by Christmas, but we'll see.
What about the Josh got in a box?
Josh,
did we ever get that?
No, haven't gotten it.
Darn it.
So for sure we'll have by, let's say, December 1st.
I'm going to guess by the end of, 2 weeks, we'll have for sure, because the hoodies are on order. They're being shipped to us.
Awesome.
I've already gotten the confirmation. The mugs and the travel mugs are on their way to us. The polos are on their way. The jackets and beanies, we have the rendering, the picture. We're just waiting to make sure it's the exact logo.
Yeah.
That's going to go on there. And then those, I'm guessing by Wednesday of next week, will be ordered.
The jackets were a sticker shock for me, but I got my head set right with that.
The jacket's a little more pricey than what we had originally wanted to go with, but it is, everybody wants your jacket that you and Eric wear, and it is literally, I think, almost identical to what you guys wear.
I never realized, and Chad blessed us with the jacket, so I never knew what the cost of them was, but I guess there is a reason.
And it's not like they're hundreds of dollars. They're just, they're more than you anticipated.
Well, there's a reason. That thing is 3.5 years old now. I mean, that was literally, like, I think our fourth or fifth episode, and that thing is still around. It's waterproof. It's warm for the thinness of it.
Right.
I'm really grateful he got that jacket, because still to this day, it's my favorite jacket to wear.
And they're waterproof and they're wind resistant too, the jackets. Yeah. They're really
nice. It's definitely their high-end jacket.
And we're hoping by spring to have new t-shirts.
Yeah.
And I think the goal is to kind of go with a charcoal gray with the black logo. So
cool.
Yeah, they're a very high-quality soft shell jacket.
Yeah.
Which, like Jen said, they're wind resistant,
waterproof. Water resistant,
So
they're
a nice jacket.
And,
they're comfortable. They're not too stiff to wear when you're wearing them. I mean, we definitely got samples and had guys wearing them around, so.
And the nice thing is that it's a perfect jacket for, like, I would say 50 degrees and below.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so there's a wide range of seasons you can wear it through. So it's not like it's a
parka. And you could also buy one of our hoodies, put it underneath, and you can wear it. It's a really cool one.
So now you all know why we really had Jen on.
Yeah.
No.
Jen, good job, sweetheart, because if you hadn't been doing this, I think when you get a whole bunch of guys in, it just wasn't getting done. But.
And you guys do have other things on your plate. I mean, I know I ship and do some of the product and stuff back there, but once shipping is cut up for the day, it's definitely easier for me to go on and get a hold of those things. So,
So
we're getting there.
So look for all that awesome stuff coming on the store. We're going to try to get a lot of that stuff up by December 1st, the latest. So if people are thinking about Christmas and that sort of thing,
definitely.
You can definitely check that out. So, we're really excited about that.
Yeah, very good stuff coming.
Well, what do you guys say we dig into a couple voicemails?
I like that.
Before we call it quits for the day here. I'm actually about to play my favorite voicemail that I've ever received.
Really?
For a flight test. And I'll explain why here shortly.
I'm excited. I'm in for this.
I gotta get back to my voicemail page here. iTunes changed things around. There we go.
Oh, no.
So anyway, this is my favorite voicemail that we've received yet. It's a bit long.
And there's the alarm going off again.
Yeah, and there's the fire alarm. But we ignore that. We don't even worry about that. So anyway, it's a bit long. Bear with me. I'll explain when it's over.
G'day, guys. My name's Gerard. I'm a truck driver here in Australia. Podcasts have been entertaining me for a while, and I'm very glad to have stumbled upon yours. After listening to the podcast, I found your website and watched a few of the videos. I like to do things backwards, so I kind of started with the number 5 podcast and worked my way through to 1, and I just had to get in contact with you and thank you all very much and tell you how well you're ticking the boxes. Everything you said you've aimed to do in episode 1, you have done. You've entertained me, you've inspired me. The way you talk about each other and other people is so inviting and welcoming. I think it's just fantastic. I plan on listening to everyone. It's like finding a handful of brothers. It really is. It's like-minded people. You have entertained me and made a long day of truck driving a lot easier to handle. I've got a gorgeous family at home. I don't get to spend anywhere near enough time with them. So the flying's been neglected a bit lately. I'm definitely going to pick up the old Visionaire and give it another crack on the weekend. I'm going straight home to charge up the batteries. A while ago, my daughter used to always say, when are you going out to fly the plane, Daddy? When are we going out to crash it? I want to see you crash the plane again. Everything you say rings so true. The first plane I had was a Cessna. I folded its wings in about 2 weeks. The next one was a foamy biplane, like a Waco copy. Had an absolute ball. I think I destroyed it about 13 times and glued it back together, a bit of masking tape. She'd go again. She's still hanging in the garage. She just doesn't fly real well anymore. So I got the Visionaire. And shout out to you fellas. So true, I sliced open my finger about 30 seconds after binding it and ended up in hospital getting tendons reattached.
Oh, no.
But every bit of it was worth it. Everyone looks at me strange, but they just don't understand how much fun it is. I taught myself to fly, like I said, but these have inspired me to go out and maybe find a club, even though I don't have much time. We'll see if we can start. I want to try and start a combat wing thing. Very interested in the Maldi rotors. Going to be watching a lot more of your videos on FPV. I just wanted to say once again, thank you so much. Keep it up. Never stop. I'll be in touch. Take care.
I like him. I want to give him a hug.
It's a great voicemail.
Was he driving while he was...
I think it sounded like he was driving a truck, so he was probably on the road.
That is a dedicated man.
Yeah, that's awesome. So one of the many reasons that's one of my favorite voicemails is because... when I started the podcast a long time ago, about a year now, I basically, what I said is what my vision is that people will find the podcast either in Stitcher or iTunes or whatever, and hear the podcast as the very first exposure for Flight Test ever, and then go backwards, look at the site, see the videos, and that sort of thing. Cut their fingers. And that's exactly what he described. And so I thought that was really cool.
That is really cool. That is cool. And hats off to you, Austin. I know I never even knew what a podcast was. I like how the AMA describes it. It's like radio, but on the computer. But I had no clue about the podcast. And also, how in the world do you take something that's predominantly visual, you know, and audible, and just take only audible? And you've done a great job with constructing this, leading this, and I love it because we get to expose our hearts. We don't have to worry about, does it fit into a storyline? Can we fit in 10 minutes? We can speak our hearts and speak, you know, what we want Flight Test to be and what we, you know, desire to get out of Flight Test. Much easier. So thank you for this.
We can ramble on for hours.
Easily.
Nobody can stop us.
Even the fire alarm.
Not even the fire alarm. Gerard, thanks for the kind words, man. And thank you also for having heart for family.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And thanks so much for the voicemail.
And I appreciated that he said he liked the way you guys talk about each other. Because I like... everyone tries, at least for the most part, to lift each other up and include each other. And I think that's one of the best parts about working here. For the most part. For the most part.
What do you say? Except
for when, I was thinking back on the beanie issue again.
except that's when Peter says, I hate you.
Yeah. I hate you, Josh.
I love it, though. Josh will ask him to paint something, and I hate you, give it to me, and then, it comes out amazing.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing about Peter is there's no filter on this man. He literally, I remember that.
You keep trying to apply one, though.
Yeah, I tried to, and it'll never work. You gotta have a goal in life.
It is fun, though. It is more like a family, I think.
A very, very funny, weird, great family.
Dysfunctional family, yeah.
Make it work 7 days a week.
I think everyone literally, I mean, Peter, we gotta get you married so we can add more employees.
So, why don't
you hear
my
belly?
Was that you?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I caught that in the headphones.
It's been like
too.
30 minutes of that since I've eaten, okay? So, back off.
Yeah, so, my gosh.
What were you going
to
say?
I was just going to say, so if anybody's interested in applying to be A, Peter's wife, and B,
don't! You guys are...
B, flight test employee.
There are some requirements here. You have to be a lady. And more importantly...
I'm not into surprises.
I was going to say, that's about it.
It would help if she's into planes.
Yeah. You have to have a high tolerance for foam planes flying at your head.
You did, though. You tried to fix up Peter and Brian. That's all he talked about at the wedding. He's like, what? So, where are you guys?
You funny. Know, Peter didn't know about that.
Yeah,
by the way, so
I quit.
It is funny because we are, I mean, your wonderful wife, Austin, has worked here. Miss Lindsay worked here.
Works here.
Yeah. And then my wife works here. My sister-in-law works here. Yeah. My brother works here. And we work our kids like crazy.
Noah enjoys. I mean, he'll be 13 soon, and he keeps asking me, when can I work for real? When can I work for real? Like, he does. I mean, he does.
He can run that laser like no one's business.
That, and he's learned how to ship now. He's officially...
Wow.
He's officially one of us. So when he finishes school for the day, he comes back and...
You guys don't realize what a great thing it was when they got me out of that shipping room. That's probably why the orders have been a lot more accurate.
That's probably
no.
True.
Yeah. Thanks, Gerard.
Josh is the bubble wrap Nazi.
Do you hear my stomach again?
Oh, that's
what it is. That's what it is. I thought
it sounds like a grumbling pot of boiling water.
I thought it was a thunderstorm rolling in.
I'm sorry, guys. All right.
Josh,
hey, guys.
Problem is,
it's Mark from Australia. Love what you do. This one's for Josh and Pete. Josh, yeah, you love networking with people, whatever you call it. Just imagine sitting on the other side of a hall or walking down the street and the guy that walks past your phone rings and you instantly know he's into Model RC because he's playing the flight test theme song as his ringtone. Get up there, guys. And Pete, don't wait for Josh to buy a Depron. We can't buy a phone board in Australia. So hook in, grab the Depron, show us how to do it. And if Josh won't buy it for you, we will. Again, love what you do, guys. Catch ya.
I still have a whole crate of that stuff in a hall.
Peter, I'm going to give you a Depron budget, okay?
You better.
Yeah.
He's now said it on stuff. A podcast. Yeah. Maybe a couple months, but you'll get it.
No, and Peter, I'm truly humbled by what I've seen this guy pull off with Depron and some simple paper and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What I'd honestly love to see is working with Adams is where we can, because basically you pull that paper off, we can change the cell structure of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cell structure of Depron versus a defoam board foam. Yeah. Model airplane foam is entirely different.
It is different. And the paper is what makes it superior. But we have lots of flexibility with Adams to do stuff. I'd love to honestly bring the price of Depron down because, in my opinion, it's just too expensive.
Yeah, but
it's too
comes
niche.
From like Germany or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's only from one place. So, yeah, it's got a super special price tag attached to that. It's like $8 for like a 20 by 30 sheet.
That's what kills
or
me.
No, it's a 29 by 36 or something like that.
Yeah, you end up building a plane for $50 and, yeah, you built it yourself. But
hey, it's waterproof.
It's right. Waterproof. You got that right.
I will say, though, I'm excited.
It doesn't wrinkle as much.
we'll get the Dollar Tree foam board to Australia, but also Depron does like it in hot climate more than our foam board. So we'll definitely be doing more in the future with Depron. And Peter is absolutely amazing.
It's just another option out there. I mean,
absolutely.
I like foam board for prototyping and crashing, and it's great for anyone beginning because you just throw it away when you're done. Depron, now you're kind of regretting it when you throw it away.
You have planes that are 5 years old that are still made out of Depron.
Yeah,
I mean, that says something.
Yeah. The original Cargo Twin, that's like 6 years old, and I was still flying that up to a time I just chucked it away because I was just bored with it.
Yeah. So
it lasts a while.
It definitely, carries a little bit more longevity. So when you get past the beginner stage and you want something permanent, ultimately the best thing I think would be is to show how to convert our current planes over to Depron. You know, it's just all in the spacing of the material and using tape as a spacer media. you know, and you could do the exact same thing.
That's pretty much why I built foam and tape. I've actually used that. I use that more than anything, like to attach the motor on. I use tape too, and it stayed on there.
Yeah.
It would come off in a crash though, which is nice.
Yeah. That's
Wait, your name's not Debron.
Yeah, Peter's right. definitely
still,
been a.
It's still a sort of foam. Yeah. Yeah, there's always that.
Fair enough.
You've been a blessing to the team, man.
All right, next voicemail.
Hey, flight test guys. This is Jackson from Kansas. I'm 13, and I've been flying for probably 2 years now. I wanted to tell you that I brought a FT duster into my pre-engineering class, and my teacher loved it so much. He's trying to get a grant from our school to integrate flight into our curriculum, and the district is trying to do that too. I started a club after school, and we've built FT flyers, and I'm teaching my classmates and friends how to fly. Just wanted to share this with you guys. Thank you. I've built all of your planes, and I'm building a 200% Spitfire. Thanks. Keep doing what you do. Bye.
That's awesome, Jackson.
He's hired.
That's awesome.
200% Spitfire? You can put that on the resume.
Yeah. Jackson, I can't express how proud I am of you, man, for bringing it into your school, but also for starting a club and taking a role as a leader and introducing people into this hobby. Hats off to you, man. And good news also, too, is we have an amazing gentleman we'll be bringing onto a podcast named Lee Kackner. He is heading up our community development. And the reason is he's uniquely qualified for that. But we're partnering with some amazing people, and I'm keeping it in the dark until we get the final green light. But our goal is to create STEM projects like you talked about, your wonderful teacher, wanting to make a program. We're working on making a STEM project or a STEM-friendly environment for that, and also a social mechanism too. So if you guys, you know, great people like Jackson wants to do that, we give him all the tools to make that a reality. Why don't we just throw Lee's, because he's amazing with his emails. Lee@flighttest.com, right?
Yeah.
So if you're a teacher listening to this right now, or a student and you want that, just start, go ahead and bombard Lee now with that. Lee@flighttest.com. He'll put you in the queue. He's great with that. But our goal is here by next school year to be rolling out a full-blown STEM project or program, and also programs for churches and in youth community groups to adopt.
And we've been deliberately a bit ambiguous about that for now. We're kind of getting some more specific details ironed out and some different things secured.
Yeah.
But ultimately is what it's going to be is it's going to be a collection of tools for people like Jackson.
Yeah. So, good job, Jackson.
All right. Awesome.
Hey guys, it's Keith from New Jersey. I just wanted to say that the latest episode of the Circle Plane Challenge and the QAV 250 was pure genius. Not only were you guys having fun, but you really demonstrated the versatility and durability of the QAV 250. I hope they're really satisfied with it. I think it's probably your best episode yet, and I've been with you since Episode 1, 17 minutes after it aired. I was one of your first 600 views, and I have to say, that Circle Plane Challenge is genius. Thanks for everything. Keep up the good work, and I'll talk to you guys soon. God bless.
I love Keith.
Yep. He's awesome. I know that guy.
Thanks, Keith.
He's such a great guy. He was actually helping out on Rotor DR1, and we got to do the microwave episode with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised he's saying he likes the circle plane better than the microwave, because he was in the microwave plane episode.
So made a cameo
in there. So, yeah, good job on that, Peter. How long did it, from development to reality, what was that for you?
About 2 days.
Well,
we spent the first day taking an FT flyer and just strapping a circle to it and go outside and chuck it.
Yep.
Surprisingly, it worked really well.
Yep.
And then we started squishing the circle into a heart and then into an infinity sign.
And it still flew.
It sort of flew.
Yeah. Not as good as a circle. Mm-hmm. But then Peter grabbed, we were working on a 200% simple soar.
Mm-hmm.
And the fuselage was over in the corner. And,
like, hey, this looks about right.
Yeah. And Peter's like, hey, can I have this? And I was like, yeah. And then in minutes, it was the funniest. And I was gone in meetings for part of the day, and I get a video from you.
That was when it was flying not so tail heavy.
Yeah. Well,
that beginning shot, and that was just terrifying. I was like, oh, I can either do one thing. I can shut the throttle off and hope it doesn't crash too hard, or I can nail it and then kick in rudder because it's differential and see what happens.
Yeah. That's you did funny. A good job on it, man. And yeah, he was flying it tail heavy on a windy day where when you test flew it, the thing was like a vapor.
Calm, yeah.
It was dead calm. It just motored. Are you bringing that to
Jared?
Yeah.
If we fit in the trailer, yes.
Yes.
If we got enough space.
Can you take the wing off?
We can probably cut it off and then re-glue it when we're in there.
That'll probably be... Mm-hmm. I think we should try to take it down. I think that'd be hysterical indoors.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because the thing is so slow. It's like FT Flyer speed.
Yeah.
If not a little bit slower.
It's pretty cool.
Well, and I have to say, excuse me, I'm excited for Peter to be here too because... It used to be, I mean, other guys have definitely had ideas and stuff, but Josh has kind of been the main designer for the most part. And so with Peter here, it gives you a little bit more free time, which I hate to say I enjoy. Because basically we go home in the evenings as Josh is designing the next plane or building the next plane. And so it's kind of a 24/7 thing. So Peter's it's been a little time off.
Huge blessing, yeah.
So I enjoy Peter being here.
That's a good enough reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they can both take turns being crazy.
It's awesome. It's really awesome.
Well, let's play our last voicemail and wrap it up.
Cool.
Hello, Flight Test. This is Charles from just up the road in Stowe, Ohio. I was wondering if you might talk a little bit about traveling with your equipment, with multi-rotors and with RC airplanes. I know you're talking a lot about road trips, but I'm particularly interested in air travel. How do you pack a multi-rotor? And more importantly, what do you know about regulations about air travel and LiPo batteries? Since you recently traveled overseas to Europe, I'd love to know how you got your equipment there and what shape it arrived in when you got there. Thanks so much. Keep up the great work.
Cool. Well, one thing is with the FAA, it's always changing. Yeah. So always check it out. You know, online, just do a simple search was the easiest thing. You know, yeah. LiPo battery,
there's
air travel.
On their website. Yeah. The last time I checked, too, when I was considering traveling, mm-hmm. is you needed, there was like a certain watt hour limit, but most of our LiPos are way under that.
Way under that. Yeah.
And all you need, you just pack them separately and just, you know, declare them with your carry on. You do not put that in the
check
luggage.
You cannot check it. Yeah. Correct. And one other thing, too, is you need to insulate and cover your battery leads and your balance plug leads. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think it's just the battery lead, but the balance plug lead can short out too. So carry on. Make sure you wrap it. What we oftentimes did was we took a electrical tape, you know, right over the ends, and that way it's completely covered.
And you put each one in a separate Ziploc bag.
Separate, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's declared in that thing. You need to do that.
Yep, and then everyone then was put in a LiPo bag. Yep. So it was, you know, it looked basically going through the X-ray machine. It was hysterical because it literally looked like a crazy row of bombs. I mean, like, you know, where the guy opens up his jacket and looks like a vest. It looked like that.
Literally, if you were to try to visualize what a bomb would look like in a suitcase,
it looked bad.
It looks like LiPos.
So the best thing was is I swore the lady's like, it's not toothpaste. You're good. You know?
Yeah, right.
Oh, it's a water bottle? Possibly bomb? Just go put it in the trash can over there.
Yeah. we went through, and when we went to Europe, we didn't carry, they had batteries for us.
Yeah,
so.
We were fortunate not to have to travel them with batteries.
Alex and I have traveled to, we went to Georgia and did some demonstrations, and we did some work, and it was very simple. And the biggest thing is a lot of people know, we're flying model airplanes, you know, this is what this is. And the one guy in Europe on our way home is like, now what is this? And he pulled on, like, oh, it's really cool. It's a transmitter and it does this. And I think I annoyed him because he's like, just get out of here. So. Yeah,
RC stuff. That's what you saw.
Yeah, but as far as I check the regulations out, balance connector, main lead, checked baggage, and also individually bagged in a LiPo bag.
Yeah,
is the way to go.
And
remove the props too.
Right. Yeah, putting the 250 size quad in a suitcase. If you remove the props and pack some clothes around it, I mean, we did that to quite a few of ours, and they arrived just fine. As far as the LiPo thing goes, definitely just do some quick research with the FAA website and that sort of thing, just because they do change it frequently. So
that's my dog. Max has he just came here. Whoa, geez, that's right in the ears.
All right, well, we want to thank everyone for listening. I think we got some good content on the
Max.
Stop.
Oh, these headphones on the dog.
that'll teach him to bark.
Yeah. So anyway, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
See you next time.
Yep. Thanks, everyone.